Father, we love you and we worship you for all that you're doing, leading us forward. There's nothing, Lord, that no obstacle that can face us now or in the days ahead that'll cause us to be outside of the realms of your grace, which is sufficient. And we give you all the praise and glory. We lean heavily upon you even now for that grace during this service. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if there's anything that I can recommend to you concerning distractions and looking into the camera and all of those out there, first, of course, is being born again. But on the plight, on the, our assignment is going into God far enough to pull out a supernatural outpouring, to receive an outpouring for this region, not just this city, for this region. He's changed that in days, recent couple years, so that not only the miracles, the blind see and the lame walk, but there's a great harvest. Thousands and thousands are born again in this region as a result of it. So praying in tongues is one of our first defenses against distractions and future distractions and things that will come and things that will go. It's very important that you understand some things about, now some things you do and some things maybe pass you by. But I'm going to talk again tonight to revivalists, those that are leading the charge into the revival, and how important it is for you to stay in the place of prayer. Praying in tongues, it would be a misnomer, not just something said, but an understanding. It would be a misunderstanding for you to not understand that when you're praying the mysteries hour after hour, however long through the day, or you have a set time, if you think that only that he's praying something like real supernatural, it is all supernatural, but just something like just the word, he's praying a revelation, that we know, we can show you scripture, that he's praying revelation. But he's praying the whole encompassment of your life. How do you know that? Because he prays, Romans 8, 26 and 27, according to the will of God for you. So it's a religious kind of thinking if you lock into just that he's praying great mysteries and he's praying about the nuts and bolts of your life. The nuts and bolts. He's praying about things present and he's praying about things for your future. So much so that he doesn't want us to live in a world of, how can I say it? Reaction. He really wants us to be proactive if he can. In other words, you stop stuff before it happens, or you eliminate distractions before they happen. There's been something in me for years, that this is just, I'll be personal, but I'll just talk about how the Holy Spirit works. Candy and I, we've been married 44 years this past month. And when we came over here, it wasn't long shortly after we came over here that I knew that we, and praying all the mysteries, and I'm just talking about the practicality of the mysteries and how he's not just praying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is praying that you'll get all that. But he's praying the whole encompassment of your life. So I knew that we were supposed to have at least one date day a week. So I said, I don't think he instruct stuff like that. I'm sorry. Not really concerned about what you think, in a nice way. In a nice way. But I knew that, and so we just made that Thursdays. Okay. And so that gives us an opportunity. Now, with the busyness, I don't think, and I'm not saying this out of duress, but I don't think I've ever been this busy in my life. Not with just other stuff, but with God's added some things that He's asked me to do minister-wise. And it's not just here. But I won't go into that. But with a lot of stuff going on, going and coming and doing things, that had always been in my spirit. And even recently when I was asked to do something else ministry-wise, and I accepted, but that thing came up in my spirit. Keep that day. Keep that day. Now, that day is not like etched in stone. And I mean, usually that day is not even now because of our busyness. It usually doesn't, any kind of date day is usually not until the afternoon. What's changed on that whole thing in the last couple of years because of the press of prayer, I used to take pretty much that whole day off. I'd spend a little bit of time, an hour or two in prayer in the morning, and then would take. Now, I'll just get up early, get my full time in, and do something in the afternoon. So where you're going with this? I'm talking about praying in tongues, and it envelops your whole life. Your whole life. And it makes your life proactive towards your future. It's not when you're Christians will, they'll be in a place where a lot of times I see you, I can't hear what you're saying. What? Hello? Are we still up? They keep going, see? We got battery backup. Wonderful. So they're still watching. The lights went out for just a second. So Christians will sometimes, this is not a ordinary kind of example, but I'm just saying, giving you a fictitious example, but about active, reactive versus proactive, because the Holy Spirit's proactive. What did you say? Tubes running out their nose. Right? They brought them back. They brought them back. What is it, sir? Or what is it, dad? Or what is it, brother? I've promised the Lord. I've promised the Lord if I ever get out of here. I've promised the Lord if I ever get out of here, I'll treat my body differently. I'll exercise and I'll do things differently. Well, that's a good thing to do. But what about proactive? After we almost got a divorce, after 6 months of marriage counseling, we promised each other we'd never get too busy again not to have date times and getaway times. Now, wait a minute. Christians usually live and make changes out of crisis. You and I are not supposed to be making changes. We can make changes out of crisis, but it's not for us to come to the end and say, boy, I'm going to do that different the rest of my life. If we keep on praying in tongues, He'll show us things. And He'll put things inside of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just, I'm after it. No, what is He telling you personally? The grassroots of who you are is in your home. It's in your family. Hallelujah. We're doing good, great. Never have even come close to those kinds of things, thank God. Separation or divorce or anything. But a church will get together and send their pastor on a big cruise when they think their marriage is on the rocks. Try to do everything to recover them when it was not necessary. It absolutely was not necessary. Hallelujah. When they bring in hairy things or in ICU. Hallelujah. Are we jumping back and forth? Okay. You want to set up the phone? Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter to me because I'm real comfortable. I can take 10 minutes and we'll just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no formality except His. Isn't Harry handsome? Come on now. He is. Those of you that will be watching the edited once this is all changed, we don't know how many people stay with us, but maybe they'll stay with us. And we don't want to lose them for the ones that said, I'll check back in 5 minutes. Hallelujah. So we're good, right? We're so good. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. It's only 10 till 8. Hallelujah. Since you came here till midnight, it doesn't really matter. What's that? You can see me and Harry fine. Yeah. Hallelujah. You tell me when. Hallelujah. So, do you understand? Do I need to go back over that again? You got that. Praying in tongues. What it does. What we want to do is, now we're talking about distractions, and specifically distractions of keeping us, trying to keep us away from revival. And this whole thing was staged tonight to, you know that, just to show you what a distraction is, right? Okay. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. What we want to do is to eliminate self-inflicted distractions. We want pure, here's the deal. Most of the time our distractions are distractions that we've created. He'll run out 20 years in front of you. Now, has anybody arrived? Absolutely no one that I know. But here's where revivalists must come in. We must join ourselves into the perfect plan of the Holy Spirit. Stay on our face. Stay in prayer. Because it's one thing to have a self-inflicted distraction. It's another one to have a distraction. What we want, we don't want any distractions. But the ones that are coming directly from hell to stop us, not because we had something to do with it, but because we were doing everything we were supposed to. I'm thinking right now. It just popped in right now. I'd thought about it earlier. How many of you remember Pastor LaRue Atkinson? Yeah, we used to have him here all the time. Love LaRue. Love LaRue. Hadn't seen him, talk to him in a while, but love LaRue. He said, I think he said it here one time, but he was talking about, he said, I don't think this is much of an exaggeration. He said, I had one time in my church like 15 different fires going at the same time. You know, like a fire, like something you're having to deal with. I mean, he said it was like 15, and he said, I started every one of them. I was the one, he said, when the Lord took me and showed me, you either put that one in order, or you either started that, and I didn't tell you to start that, or you put that person in place, and I didn't tell you to put that person in place. In other words, every 12 to 15, what he was fighting fires all over the place. And I guess he probably got them all put out, but he said during those few months, the Lord showed him, son, yeah, there's a lot of distractions. But you started every single one of them. You initiated them. You put them into place. This is what we want to do. We want to come to a place by continual prayer is that we eliminate as much as we possibly can of us having anything to do with those distractions. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:24 says this, and the servant of the Lord, you might as well go ahead and turn there so you get some word in you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose. Look, those that do what? Those that oppose. He's talking to the church. Those that oppose themselves. They oppose themselves. If perhaps or preadventure, if God will perhaps or preadventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who was taken captive by him at his own will. It says they're taken captive by him at his own will, but preface to that, you understand that the reason why that they fell into it is because it says here that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. If they could not recover, if it wasn't something that they had a big part in, they couldn't recover themselves. They themselves had a big part in allowing something or giving way to something or producing something. We'll get to come down here in a few minutes and worship because there's all kind of devils fighting this service. All kinds. They're just almost thick enough I can cut them with a knife. If you're an intercessor, you're praying. Because he don't like this. He didn't like the hours I spent in prayer today. He didn't like anything I do. That's all right. Pastor, you've been real bold lately. I'm praying you'll walk in more love. Stop it. No, don't stop praying that I'll walk in more love. But you might as well forget about stopping the boldness. The boldness is coming up from a place that absolutely has to have us into a place of going forward. This is not a Norman Rockwell card time in the church. This is not a Cinderella. Cinderella, you can be a beautiful Cinderella, but I want you to pull up that skirt just high enough that I can see your combat boots underneath. Because this is a time of fighting and boldness and sweet kissy kissy. It's not going to get it done. He'll devour us, eat us up, and chew us out, and a lot of you'll die. I don't want did it myself distractions. If he's coming with a distraction, then let him come. But let him come because we're in a fight. Hallelujah. The word humble yourself, or the word says in 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word casting there means to throw upon, absolutely, to absolutely throw it upon the Lord. And the word care, we established Sunday, and I won't go into it right now. But it means through the idea of distractions, absolute distractions. Gary Carpenter loved the message. He looked up the word cares, went a little further with it. Cares out of Mark 4. The word cares is the same word, distractions. Or cares that come from distractions. might be better put. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Pastor, you've been bold lately. Do you know what? Even like Sunday, boldness. I'm not trying to be overly bold in that sense to impress anybody. But for what is coming, not just the revival, but what is coming against the church, you'll be glad that you came to this church. Pastor Dave used to give the example of, he said, if you'll follow what I'm telling you and do what I'm saying, that you'll be, I'll get to heaven and I'll be walking along and somebody will jump out behind one of those Roman pillar type marble pillars and put a plunger size kiss on my cheek and say, thank you. Thank you for not letting up. Thank you for continuing to keep us in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read this again out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We've read it so many times recently. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. He's saying endure hardness. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. How would you say that streetwise? Well, if you just summed it up real short summation of it, it would be this: toughen up, buttercup, and don't get sidetracked by distractions. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, don't you have an ICU ward here? Oh, absolutely. We've got an intensive care. We know how to weep with those who weep. We know how to, that's Romans 12, we know how to condescend of men of low estate when they're going through something. Absolutely. We'll put you in ICU for a little bit and we'll come back and check on you. We'll do everything we can. We'll put an IV of word and life and grace and everything else in you, in your spirit. We'll pick you up. But listen to this. The greatest thing for those, please hear this. The greatest thing for those who believe that they're still too weak to join the forces of the strong is to just get in the wake that's being accelerated by the strong. Did you hear me? Glory to God. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Let's all stay focused. Let's all stay focused. Hallelujah. Jesus. The greatest thing for those who believe that we're still, that believe that they're still too weak to join the forces of the strong is to just get in the wake. See, just get in the wake of where somebody that's strong. I'd put on skis and ski down the river some. And you start out by getting in the wake, not outside of the wake. But you can jump the wake and you can slalom outside and do whatever you want to. But when you're starting out, you get in behind. But those who are strong and those who are doing the message against all distractions, listen to this. The greatest thing for those who think they're too weak is to just get in the wake of the strength of where we're going. But those who are strong and those who are doing the message against all distractions cannot, for your sake, come down and live on your level to prove that God loves you. Do you understand that? Your only hope is that we complete our course and that our strength transfers over to your weakness. We cannot, listen, we cannot decrease our boldness in fear of offending the weak. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to be... Listen, that's what I was trying to explain Sunday. Don't go around telling people how many hours you pray. But if they ask, don't try to post it. Don't come into the church with 2 jugs of gallons of water trying to say, look, I'm fasting. But if somebody inadvertently finds out, or the message of staying in prayer is in front of the weak, we can't come down and say, little one, I'm sorry, you won't do it. So I won't even mention how important it is for you to press and press and press. The same man that said condescend to the low weak is the same man in 1 Corinthians 11 that gave everything that he was doing that far exceeded everybody else around him. And I pray in tongues more than y'all. He even went on to say, I've worked harder. He said this, oh my God. He said, I've worked harder than all the other apostles. We shouldn't mention, Pastor, we're going to get somebody feeling bad about not being able to spend time in prayer. No, I'm not going to push up against you and post anything. If you don't think I'm not going to tell you, it's your absolute obligation as a revivalist to push in as far as you can to God and fight like a crazy man. Somebody said, I can't even hardly pray 20 minutes a day. When I hear you folks talk about hours, it just makes me feel so bad. I can't hardly stand. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to get down and say, well, I'm not going to mention that no more, because that's called woke. Woke in the church. It's called woke. It's a spirit. It's woke in the world. It's woke in the church. It's like bring it down. Let's bring it down so it doesn't offend anybody. Don't shout me down. Do not be ashamed of your acceleration into God. Again, you don't go around boasting about it. If somebody asks you, what's changed your life? You tell them, excessive prayer. Excessive prayer and fasting. Give them the formula. Give them the word. Don't hem-haul. And I'd like to keep that a secret because I want to be humble. Paul's aggression towards distractions, he said this, I'll just skip a lot of this. I want us to worship for a few minutes. I think we need to. I think it's great. You guys are doing a good job. After Paul said a whole lot of things about who he was and about him, his desire to know God, I think Philippians 3:10 is one of my favorite verses. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. But then in 14, verse 14, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. That prize was intimacy. It wasn't his apostleship. But the amazing part is the word press. The word press breaks down to, if you'll look it up, out of the Strong's, it breaks down to not only pursuant, it means persecution. It means persecution. So what Paul was saying, I take an aggressive, an excessive, aggressive attitude towards any distraction that comes into my life. Are we mean towards people? Pastor, you've been talking about aggression and this, that. You're not talking about any hurting anybody or any. Are you silly? We're giving our lives for people. We're talking about things of the spirit. We're not talking about physical aggression. We're talking about things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I just can't help but to read this to you. You can turn there again if you want to, Revelation 19. And I said this Sunday, this is the last photo of Jesus. When I say photo, description, I'm talking about it, and I'm using the word photo, in the New Testament. Now, I'm not making fun, and I'm not belittling. The Lord is my shepherd. He really is. And I go to Him daily as a shepherd. But we better understand how aggressive the Lord is and the power of His might, or we're not going to walk through this thing. You need to have both. You've got to have that picture on the inside of the Lord as your shepherd, holding you as a lamb and loving on you. But you better develop this image of Him also. Revelation 19 says this, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, look at this, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And then skipping down to verse 20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with, again, the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. This is amazing to me, because Jesus comes back, and there is this physical war that's going to take place, but He slays the enemy with a sword. And where is the sword? Is the sword in His hand? The sword is in His mouth. In other words, it's what He speaks. Here's the glorified Jesus from heaven. And two times in this 19th chapter, it tells us that He makes this war. He destroys the enemy with the word of His mouth, the sword that comes out of His mouth. He never changes. It's not a sword in His hand. It's not a, you know, I'd think He'd come back, this omnipotent Jesus, this glorified Jesus, and send lightning bolts. But it says, with the sword of His mouth, He absolutely destroys the enemy. How much more, listen to me, Pastor, do you do it? No, I'm telling you, I'm preaching out of conviction. I'm preaching out of conviction. We've got a sword to put in our mouth. We've got it right. Not only do you have 66 books that you can find the promises, we've tried to make it easy, Simon Says. We've got right on our website, we've got a whole bunch of confessions that are based on, and we give you the scripture based on, we've got scriptures. We've got one group of confessions for the mind and the emotion. We've got one group of confessions for finances, if you're going through, and they're based on the Word of God. And then we've got a group of confessions for your physical body. Absolutely. Well, I'm going through something physically. See, there are certain things in me that I need. How often do you, I confess, but I can tell you this. If I really believe that the Word was a sword in my mouth, see, every time that you begin to believe that the Word is a sword in your mouth, you'll begin to say it. You'll begin to speak. One of those things I think is the one on the physical and healing. Gary just puts right on there, take this at least three times a day. If you're just if you've got an infirmity in your body and you're only confessing once or twice a week and saying, you're not taking your medicine. Well, I believe it. No. You listen. A voice comes in my head, Norval Hayes. I don't know. Some of you don't even know who Norval Hayes was. He was a great man of faith. Great man of faith. A woman came to him and she was crying. She said, Brother Norval, can you tell me? Now I'm going to try to remember this the best I can. You've heard me say it before. Brother Norval, can you tell me why the Lord let my husband die of cancer? Why he let him die of cancer? Could you just please tell me? I just need to know. Why did he let him die of cancer? He said, woman, he said, in all the world, since the world began, Jesus has never let one person die of cancer. Jesus has never let anybody die of cancer. Never did, never will. Nobody's ever died of cancer that Jesus let die of cancer. If it comes down to it, what it comes down to is, if you couldn't get your healing, it wasn't because he let it happen and couldn't and could stop it and wouldn't stop it. He said, let me ask you something. Yes, sir. He said, the whole time that your husband, how long did he live? Well, he had that cancer for 2 years or something, whatever. The whole time, did you ever walk by the kitchen, just you and him, nobody there, he wasn't putting on a show, did you ever see him or hear him over there just in his underwear, his Fruit of the Loom, sitting at the, did you ever hear him talking to it and having a conversation with it and quoting the Word of God? Did you ever hear him were you ever vacuuming, just hear him where he just put the Word continually? See, we have not because we don't do. Oh, it's a sword. I believe the Word is a sword. How much has it... Is it talking to you or are you talking to it? If you are infirmed and if you haven't gone to the Word and spoke a bunch to it today and had a bunch of conversations with it, there's still a lack inside of you and I that don't believe that the Word is a sword. He said, did you ever hear? No, sir, I never heard him saying that, but Jesus never let nobody die of cancer. It's because just unbelief. We didn't go to where, and that goes to the one praying for the person as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, I wish you'd just be not quite be so bold. I want all of you to live and not die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got an alley? You don't have any assignment. You don't have any. If you got an alley or a problem in your body, the only assignment you have tomorrow is to get one of those confession sheets back there or go to our website and sit there until you get so bored. You say, that's mental. Listen, the Word says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You must believe that He is. Well, it's all in the mind. In the mind, if you just do it by the mind, it's not. But if you'll stay in there, it'll cross over. Mix it with tongues. Have a mixed drink, would you? Mix it with tongues and worship and say, Lord, I might not believe this right now, but I'm going to continue to pray in tongues and worship you. In some place, it's going to cross over. Some place, it's going to cross over. Glory be to God. What word did we use Sunday that might have offended people? Well, one I think was, what did I call David's men? Brutish. Let me give you another one. You got to get belligerent. You got to get downright belligerent with sickness. It's a distraction. Cares is a distraction. Now, if he just fights me like he does Paul to the end, I don't like that, but I'm good with that. But if I'm living in a whole bunch of distractions that I won't step up, if you come to me and tell me, Pastor, I'm really having a hard time physically, I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm going to say, I'm going to agree with you, pray with you. But what are you doing? Are you pounding this thing? Are you pounding it? No, sir, I'm not doing that. Hallelujah. You know what I feel like? It's not what I feel like. It's what I know like. I'm going to ask some of you to, as many of you will, to come and give your body. Pastor Dave used to say, sometimes you have to give your body in a commitment to something. Like you're worshiping. No. He said do this. I got to read this. All right, he's in charge. Psalms 3. I got to read this. This is your Bible might not say it, but this is, I can tell you, I can promise you, this is the history is Solomon, David is fleeing from Absalom. He wrote this, fleeing. All scholars agree with this. He wrote this fleeing from Absalom, his son. Absalom had come in and raised up a big army and taken over the capital city of Jerusalem. And David is fleeing with a palace guard. You know, sometimes you can have a big army, but it's not right there where you're at. It's off in a foreign land. David's men hadn't. He just got out of there just on the skin of his teeth. But he writes this psalm, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that which say to my soul, there's no help for him in God. Yeah, but thou, Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. Now we'd say 10,000 of devils and demons that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Hallelujah. What he's describing is a punch from God so hard against your distractions that it shatters the teeth. It breaks, it just absolutely breaks that thing up. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Marty, play that song for me. And those of you, let's come down here and worship for a few minutes. Where it's hardly 8:30. You can spend a few. We glorify you. Now I come against the spirits of infirmity that's coming against God's people on this walk right now that's joined themselves to this house. I speak to you, spirits of infirmity. I say to the saints of God, you will live and not die. Do not believe the report that has come to you in recent days. Hold up the banner of truth and side with the right. Side with the right, saith the Lord. Side with the right sayings of my word. Stand on my word. Things will change. They will change, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Stand in my word and watch me move, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The name of Jesus to every spirit of infirmity, to every spirit of stress that's coming against the homes and coming against the marriages. Shadows that are coming in the night, things that are coming, trying to bring stress and fear and worry. In the name of Jesus, we lift up the shield of faith and we lift up the sword of the Spirit and we say we cast all of our care upon Him. And we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of care and spirits of stress and spirits of depression and spirits of fear. Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the finances of those who are going forward with God in this revival. We say in Jesus' name, your finances are healed in the name of Jesus. We say that every spirit of poverty is broken off in the name of Jesus. These will flourish in the times of recession. They'll flourish in the times in which we live in these days. Inflation you will not take. You will not steal from the body of Christ and those that are going forward. We speak life and blessings to the homes, to the marriages, to the singles, to everyone. Lord, in Jesus' name we release and speak that life. You're a shield and a buckler. My God. But my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. My alecharisete. Keep it up, intercessors. You women, you men, your efforts are not going in vain, says the Lord. You're changing things. You're changing things. You're changing things, says the Lord. You're changing things, says the Lord. You're changing even the atmosphere in these services. The days ahead will be Holy Ghost services. Holy Ghost services, says the Lord. Holy Ghost services. Jesus services will take over. What you've seen before in the past is shortly to diminish and pass away. There's a change, a climate change in the spirit that's coming, says the Lord. Oh, la maha la mahore kelese. Ma de asakadasata. I'm going to get in the pews. I'm going to get in the seats. I'm going to get into places that you didn't think was possible. Watch your family members. Your husbands are going to be saved. Your wives are going to be saved in this outpouring. Things you didn't think possible in the natural are going to take place in this outpouring, says the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, give me praise as if these things were done already, says the Lord. Give me praise that these things are done already, says the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Jesus meetings. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh ho ho. Ha ha ha. Eh. Ah ha ha. Sehitiaka. Ho ho ho. Nehikalaba hotelebaka. Ho ho ho. Oh ho ho. Eh. Ha ha. Sehitia. Woo. Selabahata. Ha ha. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh ho ho. Sa ha ha. Oh, Mahamakadelesede. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's do that one more time, and you can feel free to stand and worship or be dismissed or whatever you want to do, but hallelujah. God bless you. We love you all. Everybody is watching. We're going to another place we've never been to before. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you.